just not enough.
Oh, oh, man.
Oh, man.
My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, babe. Lord, some things I can't get used to.
Welcome back to the Charlie Tuna Show, presented by Ameren Missouri on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
And welcome back into this segment of the Charlie Tuna Show. Moses, along with Tom Wiley and Joe Davis. We had a pretty good run here tonight, fellas. This time has really went by real, real fast.
As it always does. Time goes when you're having
fun. Time flies when you're having fun. You're right. But Tom, I want to talk to you about some of the worst draft picks that you can remember in St. Louis history, not Rams and Cardinals.
Man, there's been so
many. Let's rank them from worst to first.
You know, Ty Hill, that's the first name I can think of.
Moses would call him that little whip.
Yeah, it's terrible. Ty Hill.
Whip it.
Passed over Antonio Cromartie for Ty Hill.
That's ridiculous. So ridiculous.
What about
Donnie Avery was bad.
Donnie Avery.
They passed over.
Wasn't
Deshaun.
He the first receiver taken in that draft?
He
could
have had Deshaun Jackson.
And Deshaun Jackson.
Could have had Deshaun Jackson. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty bad,
too. They didn't want to deal with Deshaun's baggage.
Took Larry Nice. Could have had Ray Malauga. Yeah. Here's Joe go.
Back in the day, Joe, we lived when there was the other football team here. We lived under the guidance and tutelage of George Boone and Joe Sullivan, who were pulling the strings for the Big Red back in the day.
Now, let's see.
And they made some good choices.
Okay, let's see. Good choices they made. Let's look at those first.
Dave Butts was a great pick.
But they kept let him go after 2 years.
That because why? Because somebody wasn't paying the money. You know that.
After 2 years.
I know Dave Butts, and that's the thing.
I remember picks like, what's one guy? The defensive back out of Texas A&M in 75. I can't even remember the guy's name now. Number one pick. Didn't hardly last any time.
No.
Then you had. He was okay for a minute there. Mike Dawson, 76.
Polish pellet gun that year, too.
Who was a Polish pellet gun? Oh.
Steve Pazarkowicz.
Pazarkowicz was 77.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was number one choice in 77.
Okay. Well,
and then you go to 78 when they took the late Steve Little, Ken Green, and then a linebacker who wore a quarter in his ear, Johnny Bearfield.
John Bearfield, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next year was a good draft.
79, Otis Anderson.
Roy Green.
Roy Green, the
Theodis
fifth round.
Brown. Yeah.
Yeah. Then in 1980, you had Curtis Greer, Doug Marsh. That was pretty good, those first two picks. Then 81, you had E.J. Jr., Neil Lomax, Jeff Griffin.
I was just going to say, the Big Red, besides Tim Rosenbaugh and that supplemental draft.
82, you had Lewis Sharp, David Galloway, and Tootie Robbins.
Neil Lomax.
And Benny Parrott.
Neil Lomax is the only quarterback they've ever drafted that was any good.
Because Jim Hart was a free agent, wasn't he?
Yeah, and the other guy that they drafted with a first-round pick, went to the New York Jets.
Joe Namath.
Joe Namath.
It was Howard Cosell used to say, Joe Willie Namath.
Because somebody wouldn't pay him the money.
Well, I mean, not hardly anyone was going to pay the kind of money that he wound up getting back then.
Right.
He got, back then, which was unheard of, what, $427,000?
Sonny Warblin was the owner.
We're talking, what, 65? How much is $427,065 worth today? Can we find that out?
I don't know, Joe. Dude, look that up.
Yeah, what was how the much number again?
$427,065. 1965.
Just say what? Yeah, four. What would four and a quarter be from 65 as compared to 2?
Because I was watching what's that movie, Shawshank Redemption, with Tim Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, remember how at the end when he went around and took all the money that he had for the warden?
Oh, Andy. Yeah.
And Morgan Freeman said he blew time that day with a cool $377,000,
yeah.
And they put a figure up there by today's standards. That would be in the millions.
Yeah, $3.3 million.
Whew. Joe Willie, with those white shoes.
So he money back then was like $3 million today.
Yeah,
and that's still nothing for a quarterback.
Really, it's still nothing. Really,
that's not even a backup quarterback.
Not today.
Yeah, because Chase Daniels makes what $6-7 million being a backup.
Boy,
has
he made himself a
little
career.
He has parlayed his career of backup into a lot of money and a Super Bowl ring. Chase Daniels.
Yeah, because he got one with the Saints.
Yeah,
that's where he's back with the Saints, isn't he?
Is he? Did he go back
to Drew Brees?
Yeah.
After being in
Philly.
Philly and Kansas City?
Got tired of eating cheesesteaks, probably.
Oh, my wife just sends me a blues frown.
That bad?
She said she's getting play-by-play for my son. She goes, I've been told that if they win tonight, they advance.
She's been told.
I don't know what house she lives in.
Yeah.
She's not getting it from
she
you.
She does not listen
totally
to
totally oblivious to what you guys
do. She just doesn't listen to me.
At all.
No. She's not a big sports fan.
Yeah.
Unless she's going to the game and, you know, sitting there having a...
Oh, I just thought about something.
Derby. Yeah.
Next week, you said Tuesday. That was that auction.
Yeah, that's that big deal.
She's going to be there. Yeah. She's going, right?
Oh, I need been something like that. And then all of a sudden, oh, you did a great job. Or
we did a great job.
Yeah. She said, yeah, remember that?
Good seats and everything.
Yeah. So, Toronto.
What are you going to do? Can't live with him. Can't live without him.
No, no. She's good.
Was it late Tony Soprano used to say? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? There's one woman right there that could have thrown me to the wayside many times. Oh, look at that ticket stub. Monday, May 12th, 1986. That's a Monday Night Miracle. I've got that still.
What do you think about the NBA playoffs so far? Who do you like? Who do you think is going to come out of the East?
Well, the Cavs, obviously the Cavaliers.
You think?
They've hit the switch as everybody was worried about. And it's kind of hard to go against LeBron. And then right now the Warriors look like the best team in the West.
Even though they're banged up with Durant's going to be
out. Yeah, Durant's going to be out the next couple games. But I think they were fine going into the playoffs without him. He played the last couple games.
They were fine last year without him.
Yeah, but now they don't have the supporting pieces.
Right.
So it's going to hurt. But they're playing Portland. Portland may get a win out the series. But
Portland still
no one has a chance. No one has a chance against Golden State.
Remember they called them the Trailblazers. They called them the Portland Jailblazers for a while.
They're not like that anymore. Yeah.
No, they're better. No. Okay,
they're the complete opposite.
Isn't Paul Allen own them? The guy that's Microsoft. No, there's our man Strick Nasty on Fox. We love Andy Strickland. He's a
we're gonna have him on again soon.
We see.
Have you seen what was that hockey team that
a lot of good looking bronze?
They're selling tickets for people to just walk around in the arena.
Really?
For the games. Yeah, they're just paying people. You can buy tickets and walk around. You don't get a seat, but you can walk around.
You know what? That's not a bad idea.
It's a little dangerous, don't you think?
But why? What's going to happen?
There's just a lot more tickets. They're pretty crowded. The bathroom lines are going to be long.
Now listen, those bathroom lines are bad already. But you got the if you get those people in there, they're paying, you know, $20, $30 cover charge to come in and buy $9 beers. Heck. Good for that's marketing.
Did you hear the Cardinals had some sort of ticket program this year where you could pay? Monthly? You won't be guaranteed a seat, but you get to come in and there's some empty seats.
It's standing room. Oh yeah, I thought it was just standing room.
No, it says if it's
empty seats. So it's like $30 and you go down there, you get like a
just walk around if you don't have a spot.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's not bad.
Hey, listen,
you can say you were at the game
back in the 80s. Sound like Harry. Back of the 80s. Holy cow. I stood for many playoff games and World Series games. It wasn't bad. You know, most of the people would stand up anyway.
Was it the last World Series I was out there standing?
You were a lot younger then, though, Todd.
I know. I don't think I could stand that long anymore. I couldn't stand for a 9-inning game nowadays. But we stood, in 87, we were talking about the other day, we stood in section 244 right behind home plate, and we stood there for games 1, 2, and 7 against the Giants when Jeffrey Leonard called it a countdown.
He was right.
And Chili Davis was on us, and they brought the cowbells out, and he was one flap down. It wasn't that bad in 87, but it's gotten to be kind of cowish now.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if we could find Jeffrey Leonard. I would love to talk to him and ask him about those comments he made about St. Louis back then and what he thinks about everything that has transpired since then.
Probably laughing, though. Just a little chuckle to himself.
He's going to run for mayor.
He was a mean-looking son of a gun, though, wasn't he, Tom?
Remember what they called him?
Penitentiary face.
Penitentiary face.
And he didn't like that, so they said, okay, institutional mug.
Yep. That was a cast of characters they had on that E-17.
Yeah.
They had him. They had
Will Clark. Yeah. Will the Thrill.
Chili Davis.
And whoever would have thought that Will Clark would eventually come and play for the Cardinals and be pretty popular.
Yeah.
When he played.
When he came here, when McGuire got hurt in 2000, he came aboard late in the season.
And he really helped him down the stretch.
Matheny gave up the 22 and gave him the number, and Matheny was 44. Matheny hurt himself subsequently with a hunting knife. Cut his hand.
Yeah, he did. I remember that.
But Will Clark hit some big home runs in that postseason against the Braves and was a big part of the Cardinals going pretty far and eventually losing to the Mets –
Now,
in the NLCS.
There was such a thing that was close to a white Barry Bonds as far as how he interacted with the press. It was Will Clark.
Oh, he was.
He was a jerk. He was.
He was.
When he first came up, I couldn't stand his ass.
I remember him playing for Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. Him and Mr.
Series.
Fingerwagger.
Yep.
Rafael Palmeiro.
Yep.
They played on the same Mississippi State team.
And they were.
ESPN 33 did a thing about them 30 years later, from 85 to 2015.
Oh, really? I never saw that one.
Yeah.
I tape all of them. My kids get on me.
DVR?
And people say that. You tape? What are you taping? Okay, I recorded a DVR.
It's the same thing. Yeah. Come on now.
I'm not high tech like y'all.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he was pretty popular when he came here for being such a villain when he played against him in, 15 years or 13 years before that.
And I see we got the news last week that the base burglar is battling cancer. We wish him all the luck, all the best, Mr. Lewis Clark Brock, the greatest thief in the history of the National League.
He's the,
He really made me enjoy baseball when I was a young teenager, man, saving my allowance money, catching the Florissant bus down to Busch Stadium to sit in the bleachers to say, Lou.
If it wasn't for him in the 70s,
it would have been a lost decade.
It would have been a lost. It was.
Well, don't leave out Ted Lyle Simmons.
Ted Simmons, Lou Brock.
They were the two consistent guys through that whole decade.
And in the early part of the 70s, Gibson was here. In the late part of the 70s, you had Hernandez. Other than that, you didn't have a lot to hang your hat on as far as players that came through.
What about Cipio Spinks? Luis Melendez.
Haiti Cruz.
Leron Lee.
Don't call me Hector Cruz.
Who thought he was a powder hitter.
And then they kept the wrong Cruz. They kept him and traded
kept
his brother.
Jose, yeah.
That's right.
Kept Jose. You know what? The first baseball game my dad ever took me to, it was 1973, baseball night at Busch Stadium.
Oh, wow.
Playing the Philadelphia Phillies. And it was a tie ball game going to the bottom of the eighth inning. And Jose Cruz hit a go-ahead home run. And it started raining baseballs down on Philadelphia Phillies. They were heading to the dugout in a hurry.
I can remember some of those giveaway nights. We were supposed to go the night. It was sold out. It was the night before Easter on a Saturday night when Tommy Herr in 87 hit a grand slam home run, and it was seat cushion night.
Okay.
And the seat cushions came flying out.
Like Frisbees.
I was there the night. It was mug night.
Uh-oh.
The Blues game, and Brett Hull broke the single season record for the Blues against the Quebec Nordiques, and it rained all these plastic mugs out on the ice, and they had to stop the second period and sweep them up, and they had to have, they said, we'll play the last 4 minutes of this period at the beginning of the third period because they had a lot to clean up, and they came out and did that. One night he scored, it was hat night, and he scored a hat trick that night.
I still remember the announced crowd that night. We were leaving the game, and Dad had it on Cam Wex, and we listened to Jack Buck talk about it on the post-game show. And I never forget, he said, a crowd of 45,869. Wow. It's funny how you remember things like that.
That was a lot of people.
Because I was 12 years old, and I remember that vividly, how many people were in the stands.
Cardinals weren't bad then.
But I didn't throw my ball.
Didn't you?
I would have kept it too.
I kept my ball.
You don't have it anymore, do you?
Nah, I can't. Through the years, I think.
The Cardinals had, that was at a time when the Cardinals had pretty good crowds. But I can remember many a night when there was not a nary a person in that place.
I can remember, too.
And everybody would get a foul ball.
I remember going to opening day in 1970.
I was probably there.
79, 25,000 people maybe.
Yep, against the Expos, probably.
I can't even see
like it was.
Yep. Looked like the Miami Marlins out there. No one in the stands.
I remember in 96, the home opener for Tony La Russa. There wasn't that many people there.
My,
and then all of a sudden,
I couldn't imagine it not being.
Look at me. I'm at the game.
Yeah.
I'm on my phone. Yoo-hoo.
That's Biff Tom Wiley. I'm Moses.
Biff and Buff here at the game.
We're going to take our final break of the night. Keep it locked here. KFNS. Okay,